We're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and some other texts this morning. We're going to be looking to the King James, New King James Study Bible, Nelson, some of their articles, also some of John MacArthur's Study Bible, and some of his notes we're going to look at this morning. The sermon title is called False Teachers. False Teachers. As I said earlier, we learned this morning in our Sunday school class called Twisting the Truth. Twisting the Truth. You know, Jesus said in John 8, verses 43 and 44, when he came against the religious leaders, as we learned, that they do the works of their father. Who was their father? It was the devil. He speaks lies. He is a murderer from the beginning. He is the father of all lies. You see, false teachers, as we look at through the text, they're energized by Satan, energized by their father, the evil one, to lead people down the pathway that leads to addictions, the pathway that leads to habits, and eventually that leads to destruction. So that's what I want to look at this morning. So open up your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll begin with prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, we do want to thank you for this opportunity to go back into the Word of God, to study about you and your ways. And as we always ask, Father, bring us into the truth of your Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless your Word this morning. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which causes disputes, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. But we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, sometimes the most difficult part of the teacher's job is to let the students go, to go on their own, to let them graduate and make it on their own in this evil world. One can sense this kind of anxiety in Paul's first letter to Timothy. You see, Paul, he affectionately calls Timothy a true son in the faith, charging him again and again to remain faithful to what Paul had taught him. You see, Paul closes the letter with a heartfelt cry. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 says, guard what was committed to your trust, he says, O Timothy. Timothy had accompanied Paul for years, assisting him and acting with him in many of the churches as a liaison. Paul had not only taught Timothy the essentials of the Christian faith, but Paul, as we all should, he modeled Christian leadership. Paul modeled Christian leadership to his protege, Timothy. Now Paul was leaving Timothy in charge at the church of Ephesus. from Macedonia, Paul wrote to his son in the faith. In effect, this letter is Timothy's commission, his marching orders from the Apostle Paul. And Paul had some concern. He had concern for false teachers. Teachers that would twist the truth. You see, the church of Ephesus had some problems. One was false doctrine. One was disorder in worship. And they had the need for qualified leaders. And also they had a problem with materialism. You see, so Paul left young Timothy, his protege, with a task. But he started off with greetings. He first established that he was apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior. And to Timothy, a true son in the faith. But he says, I charge you, I urge you, he said, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That's what we're going to look at this morning, is false teachers. You see, Paul, directed by the power of the Holy Spirit, starts a challenge to Timothy. This challenge, I believe, is still in effect for me and you today. The teachings of false doctrine has and will continue to be one of the ways that the enemy of our soul, Satan, the father of lies, will attack the church of God. True believers and teachers of God's word will always battle against false teachers. These false teachers, as I said earlier, are energized by Satan, energized to instill his false doctrine. We're going to look at some attributes this morning of these false teachers. We're going to look, if you open up your bulletins, number one, the attacks. Number two, sincere faith. You might put in parentheses right beside there, I did in my bulletin, the lack of sincere faith. The lack of sincere faith of these false teachers. And then number three, their condemnation. False teachers have condemnation. They are condemned. And we're going to look at that from the text this morning, some scripture. So let's start with number one and go back to the opening text and look at the attacks of the false teachers. Verses 1 through 7 of 1 Timothy. I will read it to you again. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. To Timothy, a true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which causes disputes, rather than godly edification, which is in faith. Now the purpose of the commandment is love, from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk, designed to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. You see, Paul begins his first letter to Timothy by asserting his authority as an apostle of Jesus Christ. God our Savior, if you look at the end of verse 1, God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. God our Savior identifies the title. The title Savior identifies God as the source of our salvation. Very important to remember when you deal with false teachers. We'll see that in the text. That God is the source of our salvation. He both justifies us, He sanctifies us, and He will eventually glorify us. You see, Paul speaks as Christ, as our hope, because He is a reason we can expectantly look forward to eternal life in Him. He talked to Timothy as a true son. A true son refers to a legitimate child who possesses all the rights and the privileges of membership in the family of God. Paul was indicating total acceptance of Timothy as a true believer. You should know that you are saved. The Bible tells us so, right? And he talks about no other doctrine. The word fable is the fable is a myth or a legend. It's a falsehood. What is Paul talking about here? The word fable could be connected with Jewish fables. Genealogies could be connected with the law or family history. The errors that Paul left Timothy to correct in Ephesus appear to have primarily been Jewish in nature, involving unrestrained speculation about genealogies and allegorical interpretations of the law that was found in the rabbinical literature or rabbinical writings of that day. You see, in Ephesus, this could have been combined with the Gnostic teaching. Speculations concerning spiritual beings. You see, Paul was saying that the focus of believers' life, of our lives, should be the clear and sound doctrine found only in the Word of God, not on human wisdom, knowledge, or speculation. You see, he commanded that the purpose of Paul's command to Timothy is the promotion of God's love in his church. You see, you can separate that from a false teaching. You remember last week we talked about the scale of truth and love, that you can't really know how to love unless you know how the real truth about love. You see, Paul taught that. He said, how do you know how to love unless you know the truth about love? Because then it talks about idle talk. What is idle talk? Idle talk is empty chatter. It's gossip, speculation. Criticism should not come from the lips of a believer. We should not criticize one another. He talks about the teachers of the law. That these false teachers desired that. They desired to be teachers of the law. The phrase is derived from Judaism, the teachers of the law. And it's connected with the Pharisees. It says here in the commentary of the Nelson Study Bible, these were individuals whom Timothy was to instruct and correct. Their errors came from their relation to the law. These men were loveless. They were legalistic teachers with impure hearts and motives. Instruction without love promotes legalism. Let me say that again. Instruction without love promotes legalism. You see, the proper function of the law God put in place, is to make sinners aware of their sinfulness. Let's look at this a little deeper here. We got the attacks of the false teachers we're looking at. We're going to look at the fables and the genealogy of their attacks, their idle talk, desire to be teachers, lack of discernment I put in here. In your bulletin, you got the attacks. You might write them down. Starts with fables and endless genealogies, which is legends and fanciful stories manufactured from the elements of Judaism, which probably dealt with the allegorical or fictitious interpretation of Old Testament list of genealogies. One commentator says they were doctrines of demons. Idle talk. Idle talk. What is idle talk? Refers to speech that is aimless and has no logical end. It is essentially irrelevant and will accomplish nothing that is spiritual or nothing that edifies the believer in Jesus Christ. It can also be translated as fruitless discussion. False doctrine leads nowhere but to the dead-ending end of human speculation and demonic deception. Twisting of the truth, right? And these false teachers, the false teachers wanted the kind of prestige enjoyed by the Jewish rabbis, the teachers. But they were not concerned at all about truly learning the law and teaching it to others, teaching the truth. Instead, they imposed on believers in Ephesus a legalistic system or heresy that offered salvation on other things other than grace, by works. They offered salvation by a works system, a system of works. Very interesting stuff. Because when you come across false teachers, we just went through verses 1 through 7. False teachers will attack you. Paul said to Timothy, they will attack you in their fables and in their genealogy, falseness. They will attack you in their idle talk, their gossip. They're tearing you down. They will attack you. They want to be teachers over you, teaching you the way of error, twisting the truth, leading you down the pathway that leads to habits, addictions, and eventually to destruction. Because they have a lack of true discernment. You see, Jesus talked about the dangers of these false teachers. Matthew chapter 7, he instructs us on the false prophets. Matthew chapter 7, please. Verse 15 through 20. He says, you will know them by your fruits. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. The way to tell the difference between true teachers and false teachers is by their fruits, by their truth they teach. So fruits here refers more to their deeds than their works. It also includes their doctrine that they teach. A person speaking in the name of God is to be tested by the doctrines of the Scripture, by the Bible. That same principle holds true today in the churches of God. Speakers and teachers should be tested against the truths in God's Word. You might remember, Paul spoke in Acts chapter 20, verse 17 through 31, to the Ephesian elders. He exhorted them, and starting in verse 17, he says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, You know from the first day I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Verse 26. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse sayings to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So Paul, see, he left Timothy in Ephesus to stand up against the false teachers. He said that false teachers will come. There will be savage wolves, not sparing the flock. They will come in and teach their heresy, teach their destruction. How do they teach that? What are the false teachers? How do they energize? How can we be so deceived by false teachers? As Andy Stanley said, we forget about the invisible world. There is an invisible world out there, a spiritual world that people forget about. Paul wrote a little bit about this in 2 Corinthians also. Turn with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 7. 7 through 15. Did I commit sin in humbling myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches, taking wages from them to minister to you. And when I was present with you, and indeed I was a burden to no one, for what I lacked of brethren who came from Macedonia supplied, and everything I kept myself from being burdensome to you. And so I will keep myself, as the truth of Christ is in me. No one shall stop me from this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the things which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So how can we be deceived? How can these false teachers come in and attack us? Because they are energized by Satan. You see, they came at Paul because in Paul's days, professional philosophers and teachers in the Greek society, they charged for their teachings. Paul did not. He labored and received support from other churches. Those who preached the gospel should make a living from the gospel. Although Paul had the right to take money from the Corinthians, he chose not to do so in order to demonstrate his integrity. Paul's boasting was that he preached without charge to the Corinthians. Paul did not accept money from them because he did not want to give his critics, the false teachers, the opportunity to put themselves on the same level as he was. You see, Paul's critics apparently called themselves apostles of Christ. But Paul said they were transforming themselves. They were false teachers. They were energized by Satan. The word transform means to change in appearance, to disguise, to masquerade. They were false teachers, energized by Satan. Because Satan, the prince of darkness, can disguise himself as an angel of light. His servants, the ministers of evil, can also disguise themselves as ministers of righteousness, the text says. Satan's main tool is deception. We must keep that in mind. His main tool is deception. One of the accusations the false teachers were trying to convince the Corinthians was that Paul, the apostle, was counterfeit. And he did not care about them. He did not love them because he refused to charge them for his services. Paul's defense. He says, I speak as a fool. The words jump off the pages of 2 Corinthians. They seem to be out of place in the Bible. Why would an apostle speak foolishly? A closer look reveals the reason behind the apostle Paul's words. The church at Corinth had been infiltrated by false teachers. Although no one knows what they were, this group, these false teachers belonged to, we can ascertain some of their beliefs from Paul's two letters to the Corinthians. Evidently, they were a group who prided themselves on the Jewish heritage. This group may also have held what we call, or what some call, as the incipient Gnosticism. They placed value on spiritual knowledge and experiences. They were only accessible to be gifted teachers, perhaps those who were especially skilled in Greek rhetoric. These false teachers were not only slandering Paul, they were denying his authority and the truthfulness of what he preached and taught. Some had postulated that they were several different groups that came against the Apostle Paul. That may have been the case, because Paul speaks of several different factions, you might remember, in the church at Corinth. To counter the accusations of his opponents, Paul took great pains to present his authority as an apostle. He opened his life and ministry for everyone to look at. But he was doing more than defending himself. The great apostle wrote with an additional goal in mind. This was to warn the Corinthians of the dangers that the false teachers posed to them. Paul reluctantly painted a stark contrast between his own ministry and that of the false teachers. According to Paul, these false teachers preached another Jesus and a different gospel. He regarded them as deceitful workers. Unlike Paul, these imposters collected fees for their services. And unlike Paul, they enjoyed comfortable, easygoing ministries. To defend himself, Paul was forced to boast in his ministry. But his boast was unusual. He boasted in his weaknesses and in his sufferings. He did not boast in his own accomplishments, but in the troubles and the difficulties that clearly showed the power of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in his life. Many centuries later, the cast of these characters had changed, but the story remains the same. The church continues to be infiltrated by those who advocate unbiblical false teachings, I should say. Many of these present-day false teachers, false prophets, appear to be very sincere in their teachings. They speak with great passion, eloquence, rhetoric. Their ideas seem to make sense. But we must all use extreme, very extreme caution. Their audiences can be mesmerized by their words. We must weigh every message, every word from anyone stands up and proclaims God's word with God's word. We cannot just listen. We must open up God's word, His Bible, and test the fruits of every teacher against the word of God. And what if the church, what if the body of the Christ, what are we supposed to do when we detect false teachers? On this issue, the Bible is very clear. Those who foster division within the church by persistently advocating unbiblical beliefs are to be removed from the fellowship of God's people. There is to be no toleration of false teachers, the Bible talks about. When unaddressed, False doctrine, false teaching is like a cancer. It permeates the entire body. It will weaken it. And it will ultimately bring it to destruction. False religions always come against the true gospel, saved by grace through faith. False teachings, they're legalistic, meaning it must be their system on salvation. It cannot be both ways, church. Let's put it this way. There is a salvation that God accomplished through His Son, Jesus Christ, apart from any human effort. That is the true Christian gospel. False religion and all its attacks on the church, it is a human effort-based religion. It is a human effort-based system. This is where human beings attempt to gain salvation by their own efforts, through good deeds, good works, traditions, rituals, and ceremonies. Isn't that what they came at Jesus with? Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 9. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit might have received, what you might have received from me is a gift from God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" You see, false teacher will attack the true church of God. They will attack us in what ways? With fables and endless genealogies. They will attack us in idle talk. They will attack us in desire to be teachers over us, trying to teach the truth, which they don't even understand, because they have the lack of true discernment. Very important to understand. Let's go to number two on false teachers. We got sincere faith, and false teachers are the lack of sincere faith. Go back to the opening text. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go down to verse 8 now. We looked at verses 1 through 7. Let's look at verses 8 through 11. 8 through 11. "But we know that the law is good, if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." So, false teachers do not like to open up and teach God's word. They may read one or two verses and then tell stories. Stories can be good, but we need the Word of God to grow in our faith and to challenge us in our walk. We need the Word of God to show us that we are imperfect and that every human being needs a Savior, not a system. As I read earlier, the proper function of the law is to make sinners aware of their sinfulness. Fornicators. Fornicators are persons involved in sexual immorality in general. Sodomites are specifically male homosexuals. Both heterosexual and homosexual immorality are violations of the seventh commandment. Sound doctrine may also be translated as healthy teaching. Sound is derived from the Greek for in good health. Doctrine is the key. Doctrine is the key theme in 1 Timothy. Let's dig a little deeper here. The law is good. The law is good. Sincere faith, you've got to have the law. The Greek word for good, in the study Bible, John MacArthur says, can be translated as useful. The law is good or useful because it reflects God's holy will and righteous standard, which accomplishes its purpose in showing sinners their sin and their need for a Savior. The law forces people to recognize that they are guilty of disobeying God's commands, and thereby condemns every person and sentences them to hell. Those who think that they are righteous will never be saved because they do not understand the true purpose of the law. The false teachers, with their works system of personally achieved self-righteousness in their own minds, had shown clearly that they misunderstood the law completely. It was not a means to self-righteousness, but a means to self-condemnation, sin, conviction, repentance, and pleading to God for mercy. The first six characteristics expressed, he says, in three ways delineate sins from the first half of the Ten Commandments, which deal with a person's relationship to God. Lawless describes those who have no commitment to any law or standard, which makes such people insubordinate or rebellious. Those who are ungodly have no regard for anything sacred, which means that they are sinners because they disregard God's law, which is holy. Unholy people are indifferent to what is right, which leads them to be profane, to step on or trample what is sacred. You got murderers of fathers, perjurers. These sins are violations of the second half of the Ten Commandments, those dealing with relationships among people. These specific sins undoubtedly characterize the false teachers, since they are characteristic behaviors relating to false doctrine. Murderers of fathers and mothers is a violation of the fifth commandment, which forbids everything from dishonor to murder. Manslayers or murderers is a violation of the sixth commandment. Fornicators and sodomites or homosexuals violate the seventh commandment, which prohibits sexual activity outside the bounds of marriage or the marriage bed. Because he talks about theft. Because the theft of children, he says, was commonplace in the day of Paul or in Paul's day. He said he mentions kidnappers on that, which is in connection with the eighth commandment, which prohibits, as you know, stealing. Finally, he talks about liars and perjurers are the violators of the ninth commandment. So as you can see, to open up God's word and to proclaim his gospel, to proclaim the ten commandments, false teachers will not like to do. That's why, as you see in throughout the world today, that they want the ten commandments taken out of every public facility. They don't want people to know that they are sinners in need of a Savior. That is a false teaching. Sound doctrine. Sound refers to that is healthy and wholesome. It is a kind of teaching that produces spiritual life and growth, which implies that false doctrine produces spiritual disease that leads to spiritual death. That's why Paul could say in verse 11 of 1 Timothy 1, that according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. The glorious gospel. The gospel reveals God's glory. That is the perfection of his person and of his attributes, including his holiness, hatred of sin, and his justice, the demand of punishment for the violators of his law, but also his grace, which is the forgiveness of sins. Those particular attributes are key to any effective gospel presentation, which could lead to the penetration of the gospel. What were they? How do you present the gospel? You present the gospel that God has a holy hatred for sin, and he has a righteous justice or a demand of the punishment of his sins, but also the grace. So you got a holy God that hates sin, that demands a justice of that sin, of that penalty, and then along comes grace. That's how you present the gospel. How can you present the gospel any other way? Without knowing that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, you don't need a gospel. He says also, this was committed to my trust. You see, sincere faith should make me and you to have a sincere trust in the gospel, a sincere passion to present the gospel. The word committed, this Greek word refers to committing something of value to another, and can be translated that you entrust somebody with something. Entrusted. God entrusted Paul with the communication and the guardianship of his revealed truth. That's a very important entrustment. It takes sincere faith, though, don't it? You see, when you present the gospel, when you present the whole counsel of God, you'll separate true faith and false faith. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Romans chapter 7, verse 12 says, "Therefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good." Romans chapter 10, verse 14 through 17 says, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is the purpose of the law? Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 19 through 24, he tells us the purpose of the law. He says, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confirmed all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That's Galatians 3, verses 19 through 24. One other thing that false teachers will try to teach you. I'll read it from a text. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That will separate sincere faith and the lack of sincere faith. There's only one mediator between God and man. That's the man, Christ Jesus, the text says. You want sincere faith or you want a false faith? See the difference between sincere faith from the text and the false faith of the false teachers? It's pretty easy from the text. It's not hidden from us. The Bible revealed that to us. That's why we have to test every teaching by the Word of God. And number three, before we conclude, is the false teachers and their condemnation. Their condemnation. False teachers are condemned. Let's go back to the Pentateuch. Deuteronomy chapter 13. I will read to you verses 1 through 11. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1 through 11. The punishment of apostates. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. You shall put away the evil from your midst. If your brother, the son of your mother, your son or daughter, the wife of your bosom, or your friend, who is as your own soul, secretly entices you, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, neither you nor your fathers, of the gods of the people which are all around you, near to you or far off from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, you shall not consent to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him or conceal him, but you shall surely kill him. Your hand shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. And you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So all Israel, hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness as this among you. Let's go over to the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 4. The doom of false teachers. 2 Peter, excuse me, chapter 2. There's only three chapters in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 through 17. Doom of false teachers. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who is repressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man, dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. I want to read that all to you real quick, because doom of false teachers. What does God do to false teachers? What does God do to false people to think that they can live outside of what God's Word says? You look at what God did to Noah. What did God do to Noah? He spared him, right? And one of eight people. And he brought flood on the ungodly of the world. And what did he do to cities? The city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He brought them to ashes for what? They were living in an ungodly lifestyle. We cannot expect to live outside of what God says and not expect God's hand of judgment or discipline to come upon our lives or upon this world. Verse 10 now, 2 Peter 2. And especially those who walk according to the flesh and the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be taught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness, as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. False teachers? Right there, we looked at two different texts of the Bible that says false teachers are condemned. Why do people listen to them? Paul said to Timothy, he charged him that no one should teach no other doctrine, right? As we conclude this morning on false teachers, what are we supposed to do with them? We are to oppose them. We are to not be swayed by them, not to be swayed by the large numbers of people who are attracted by their unbiblical ideas. We are to know that judgment is a guarantee for those who teach false doctrine and oppose the truth of God's Word. We are to exercise godly discernment, keep our spiritual eyes open, and detect them of their false teachings and their empty promises to the ungodly, to the terrors. You see, Satan can build his church of terrors upon false teaching. But as I keep saying, the false teachers lead you down the pathway of addictions, habits that cannot be broke, fleshly desires you cannot overcome, that eventually lead to destruction. Titus chapter 1, verse 15 and 16 says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. So, if you're listening to this message, are you deceived by false teachers? You see, Paul says a lot about it in his teachings. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He said to the Colossians, as we close here, Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 through 23. He gives us another warning on false teachers, false doctrine, false systems. He says in verse 8 of Colossians 2, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ? For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. In Him you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. In you being dead in your trespasses, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food, or in drink, or regarding a festival, or new moon, or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one teach you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things, indeed, have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against what? Against the indulgence of the flesh. False doctrine, false teaching will not grant you victory over the flesh and its desires. It's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that you can overcome these fleshly desires. His power, not ours. As we close this morning, false teachers. Paul commands us. He commands others to teach no other doctrine than the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. We are not to listen to fables and or endless genealogies, which will cause dissension and disputes in the church of God. We are to teach the good news of Jesus Christ, that He is the Savior of all sinners. We are to reject all fables from the false teachers. We are to pray and intercede for everyone. We are to pray that God will grant him salvation. We are to choose church leaders who are worthy of the office and are according to the Scriptures. We are to instruct others in biblical sound doctrine. We are to train ourselves in godliness. We are to be an example to the believers in the Word, in our conduct, with our love, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to have a sincere faith, and to seek for righteousness. We are to stay pure. We are to withdraw from those who reject the teaching of God's Word and who are constantly arguing over the Word of God and debating and disputing and questioning the Word of God. We are to seek and pursue, as I said earlier, righteousness and sincere faith, a true love of God, a true love of His Word. We are to ask for discernment, pray for discernment, and avoid profane and idle talk. Idle gossip and falsely calling false teachers, true teachers. We need to call what is wrong, wrong, and what is sin, sin. That's practical advice for the Christian today. Let's close in prayer. Father, as we close this morning, I once again want to thank you for your word. And Lord, if there's anyone listening to this sermon that never has accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, that has been under false teaching, that has been deceived by the devil, the evil one, that his schemes are always to steal, kill, and destroy, I ask, Father, that you will open their eyes to the truth of your word by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you will open their eyes to the truth that they are sinners in need of a Savior. That they cannot live the lifestyle that's outside the Word of God. That if they are in this lifestyle, a lifestyle that's sin, that you will open their eyes to the truth of that. And that they will fall to their knees and cry out for true salvation. Salvation in your Son, Jesus Christ. And that you will protect them and empower them to get out of this sinful lifestyle. And if they're sitting under false teachers that do not believe the Bible, that says there's more ways to heaven than Jesus Christ, I pray that you will open their eyes to that also and have them run from that church, run from that teaching, and to run to a true church that believes in the Word of God, that proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ, that says that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Lord, keep our spiritual eyes open to these false teachings and empower us by your Holy Spirit to make our stand, but to do it in love, the love that you had, the love that you had for a sinful world that you sent your only begotten Son to die for it. But he did not condone the sin. We thank you for that. Grant those salvation that's listening to this message, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.